The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. It's Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but the Bible teaches there's a time to laugh. The review of the goofy news which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Yay! Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use? Probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because right now, God still approves. But you know, that can change. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon. I'll be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here's the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. Man, is that true? And we really don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk truth with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right there. Now, being a Bapticostal, some of you are going to have a little bit of a stretch with this, but you can get through it. I have confidence in you. Have you ever had an experience or a dream that was supernatural? Like, you know, oh, that was the Lord. Now, I'm not talking a little bit. I mean, like, you know that you know that you know that you know. Have you ever had any experiences or a dream that you know? Oh, that was the Lord. That was the Lord teaching me, guiding me, directing me, helping me, comforting me, challenging me, rebuking me. All of those are valid. It's a simple question. Have you ever had any experiences or dreams that were supernatural and you know? That was supernatural. Yeah, there he is. If you have a response to that question, if you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. Just reach out and give us a call. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you call 972-445-0770, well, by golly, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like feeling confident that you have done your very best. Hello.
Thank you, David. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday to you, my friend. How is the day going so far?
Going well so far. How's your day going?
It's going very, very well. I will say it got a little bit better this morning. Then I went to bed and woke up and found out the Red Wings have won 7 in a row. 7 in a row. Thank you very much. Just pointing that out to people. 7. How many? 7. How many? How many days in the week? 7. Okay. Isn't that nice?
7.
Yeah.
7 in a row.
We go 8, go 8, go 8. Anyhow, I just want everybody to know you are welcome to reach out to us and touch base with us. I think it's a very good question, by the way. I think some of you are like, oh, can I answer that? Will somebody get offended? Oh, come on. Most of us had some type of moment when we said yes to Jesus that was way past what we thought. That didn't happen to me. Mine happened later. But I'm just saying, have you ever had any experiences or dreams that were, you just know that was the Lord? If not, how'd you get saved? That's kind of a question there. Simple question there. But on top of that, you can call us. Additionally, you can text. Now, again, we repeat this because people tend to forget, and it's okay. Plus, we have new people. You can text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. So the text is 214-210-8483. You can also send us an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, because that's my name, at, A with a circle, hemustincrease.org, because we're a nonprofit corporation. We can prove that with our books. And additionally, it's he must increase in the middle. So david@hemustincrease.org. So you can email us, you can text us, you can call us. Why would you do that? Maybe you have an answer to that initial question. Maybe you've got a praise report and the Lord has done something phenomenal and you just want to share it. Maybe it's just a bracelet that gave you just such a blessing to keep things going, and it just really moved you. Maybe you've got a prayer request. We're going to be praying for Jill, who's Nancy's daughter, and Nancy in a little while, not quite yet. We're also going to be praying for the audience. We're going to be praying about anxiety. I want to mention that, too, because people are really struggling with some anxiety. It's not even – we're not talking anything on the political realm. We're not talking anything on any other factor. We're talking about people are just struggling with anxiety. The enemy didn't – oh, I'm leaving now. There's no more anxiety. That didn't happen. And he's the one that's trying to throw doubt into the picture. We're going to be praying about that. We also want to remind you of this, which is very important, and that is simply this. February buddies, when you hear somebody's name or when they call in or somebody's discussed or something takes place and you're listening on the air and you think, oh, that person, I'm trying to get people to do it on their own between them and the Lord. You hear somebody's voice, you go, you know what? I'm going to pray for that person. You don't have to pray every single day. You don't have to pray 24 hours, 7 days a week. You have to just lift that person up before the Lord. That becomes your Feb buddy. It's between you and God. And we really encourage that because that is how we fulfill the law of Christ. Can carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Okay, let's help carry the burdens. Let's be a part of that. As Paul said, join me in my struggle by praying for me. All right, works together. Let's make it happen. So if you've got something you want to share, if you've got an answer to the question we asked you, if you've got something going on that you need prayer for, just want to share something that's really touched your mind or your heart, awesome, awesome, awesome. Don't forget to listen for Feb Buddies. And here's what we're going to do to start off with. We are going to pray about the anxiety. I just think that's a spot-on prayer moment, so let's do it right now. For some of you, you are doing okay, but sometimes the worry, the fret, The discouragement or just the unknowing, the uncertainty kind of gets the best. Let's pray about that. Let's do it before the Lord. Father, we come before you right now and we give you thanks and we give you praise. You have always helped us. You have delivered us when we deserved no deliverance. You have put your arms around us when we were even in rebellion. You still love us. In our good and in our bad. And we come before you, Lord, and we confess. We don't deny. We acknowledge. We repent. We turn our hearts towards you and ask you for grace and mercy. And some of us, Lord, are caught up in the circumstances, and we just can't see past them. Instead of looking, Lord, at you, Jesus, while we're walking on the water, we're looking at the wind, and we're looking at and we're listening to the wind, and we're looking at the waves. And it's wrong, and we sink, and our faith goes down. And we're just letting anxiety get the best of us and take advantage of us. And your word's clear. We're supposed to cast our anxiety unto you, Lord, because you care for us. So for those of us that are going through that frustration, we come before you, and we lay it at your feet. Lord, we can't beat this without you, but we can do all things through you. So please take this frustration, this anxiety, this unsurety that some of the people are feeling, even this fear that some people are feeling, and help us to lay it at the altar and to pick up the peace that passes all understanding, so that our minds and our hearts will be kept in you. We're not worthy of it, but we believe you for it, and you offer it, and we receive it. And we thank you for it as we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. And with that, we jump right into Psalm 61. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, I love some of these psalms, especially in the 60s. These are some really, really awesome writings by King David. We are in Psalm 61. I want to make sure everybody understands that David is writing this psalm regarding the assurance of God's eternal protection. Now, just think about that. Stop right there before you go anywhere else. This is to the chief musician on a stringed instrument, a psalm of David, assurance of God's eternal protection. Now, what is more delightful than the songs and the psalms of a man whose spirit is hungry for God? So as we jump into Psalm 61, which is attributed to David and his authorship, it's a psalm based on that assurance of God's eternal protection. The value of eternal protection cannot be overstated. We're not throwing dice here. We're not at the casino going, okay, blue, 23, or whatever, red, black, 23, whatever. We're not doing that. What we're doing is we're standing firm in the Word of God that all the things around us will perish except for our enjoyment of God for all eternity. All these things that we go through, all these things that we face right now, all these quote-unquote trials, they aren't going with us. Those frustrations, that's not going with you. That pain, it's not going with you. You're going to be leaving it behind. And so David starts off this whole psalm is geared in that direction. That's what he's writing about. So he starts off in verse 1, "Hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer." So when David is saying, "Hear my cry, attend to my prayer," there's nothing wrong about that. There's nothing weird about that. He's coming before the Lord and he's saying, "Lord, I need you to keep things going." Or he's saying, "Lord, I need you to get things going." Or he's saying, "Lord, I need you to answer the prayers." Or, "Lord, I need you to attend to it. I need you to respond to it. I need it to be yielded into your power. I need you to say something about it. I need you to do something about it." That's what David is saying. When it becomes wrong for us is when we lose our patience to continue the pursuit. That's when it becomes wrong for us, when we lose our patience with God and we say, "Boy, you're slow." And we start insulting him or something along those lines. It's like, that's a bad idea. Here's how you start it off. "Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayers." I love it. And in verse 2, he says this, "From the ends of the earth, I will cry out to you." I don't care where I am on the planet, I'm calling upon your name. And he says this. He says, "I will cry unto you," because why? Because he will cry unto him because it says this, "My heart is overwhelmed." Listen, "From the ends of the earth, I will cry to you." When my heart is overwhelmed. Ever go through that? King David did. He was pretty close to the Lord. Overwhelmed, feeling overwhelmed. So brothers and sisters, older and younger, we can take this unbelievable comfort that there are times in the walk when there are things that are overwhelming. And we don't know what else to do. But the answer is right here in the psalm. Listen to this. This is the first two verses of Psalm 61. Listen to what he says. "Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed." What? What are you going to do when your heart is overwhelmed? When my heart is overwhelmed, I'm calling out to you, and I want you to do this for me, Lord. "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." That's the answer. Right there. Right there in the Word of God. The answer is right there in the Word of God where David says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Which is a poetic way of saying, bring me closer to you. You're the only answer. Listen to this. Nothing else will work. By the way, it is a cool song, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Here's what I want you to get. When you're going through it, and we just prayed about anxiety, and I didn't even realize that connection until I'm talking to you about it, like out of my brain here, I'm catching it now. When we are in that place, and we are really going through that anxiety, that frustration, that unsurety, the Lord is communicating how we approach. We cry out to God, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. We don't stop pursuing. We keep asking God, we need your help. We need you in this. We need you doing this. I need you to take care of this. Please get this going. Please help. Please help. Please help. We don't stop being persistent. That's ridiculous. And then he says, from the ends of the earth, I will cry to you. It doesn't matter where you are in this journey. It doesn't matter what place you're in, geographically or otherwise. When you're in a place and your heart is overwhelmed, here's the answer. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me, Lord God, to you. For you are my rock. And if I am led to the rock that is higher than I will be fine. That's what he's saying. There's this point where you and I get that there is nothing that we can do that can change it, but God can. So you go to the Lord, you petition the Lord, and you recognize nothing else will work. It's only the Lord that's going to work in this situation. And we've talked about this before, and I know people don't agree, and it's okay. I still love people. It doesn't mean I don't love you. But these people are like, well, God will never give you more than you can handle. Baloney. He will do that continually. And you say, well, how can you say that? Because then it is only dependent on God and God's manifestation of his power that can get you out of it, thereby assuring you will know it is only by a miracle that this happened. That's why that happened. When Gideon had a fight against over 100,000 soldiers, God took him down to 300. Wait, what? Yeah. Making the situation absolutely impossible so that the only resolution was the hand of God. Not only has he done that, not only is he doing that, but he will do that. And how you handle it is you. Wait, get ready. Let go of it and cast it into his hands. That's how you handle it. You get your hands off of it and let him be the Lord. That's what he calls us to. That's just in the first two verses. Wow. Take a deep breath. Here's your first trivia question. Who wrote the book of Deuteronomy? According to Deuteronomy 1:5, according to Deuteronomy 31:9, according to Deuteronomy, basically, chapter 24, who wrote the book of Deuteronomy? Adam, Noah, Enoch, or Moses? Adam, Noah, Enoch, or Moses? Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 5, or chapter 31, verse 9. Who wrote the book of Deuteronomy? Adam, Noah, Enoch, or Moses? If you think you know, you can reach out to us by telephone, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. Who wrote the book of Deuteronomy? Straightforward. Was it Adam, Noah, Enoch, or Moses? There it is. In the meantime, I'm going to send you up to the website. I do need to inform you of things that are going on. We are having a board meeting tomorrow night in regards to the ministry. On that board meeting, we will be discussing our finances because our finances are not great. And we need to have a discussion about it. We've come to that place. So we're going to ask people if you can dig in and give. That's great. We love it. If you can't, totally cool. But you need to be praying for us because it's the only way the ministry can go forward. That's all we have to say about it. Okay? Please check out the website, which has a lot of cool stuff, a place to put a praise report, prayer request, plus it has the opportunity for you to access books. If you can't get them, we will buy you the book free. We don't care. We'll go down swinging no matter what. That's how we approach it. Check it out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
It's so happy. It's so cheery. I don't care. It's just happy. Yeah. It's like, what a great theme song, right? I mean, this is classic. All right, we do have somebody ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send him on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. How are you doing?
Well, I'm about the same, but I just keep praying.
You know what? I keep praying with you. Right? I mean, this is considered. We're not going to quit, are we? There's no quitting. We don't quit on this stuff. We believe the Lord. Let's do the trivia question first, and then we'll go into prayer. Let me finish the whole thing. Who wrote the book of Deuteronomy? Was it Adam, Noah, Enoch, or Moses?
It was Moses.
That is correct, Amundosa! For those not keeping score, Adam, Noah, and Enoch all died in Genesis, or departed, I should say, in Genesis. They were not around for Deuteronomy. So it wasn't really tricky. It was just kind of right there in the answer. All right, my friend, let me pray over you, same way that we prayed last time, about not just health, but things around you, that the Lord will bless you and make things easier, okay?
Okay.
Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. I thank you for my brother, Gary. Really want him to know in our hearts, we pray for him. We think of him. We lift him up before your presence. We ask you to pour yourself into his body. I mean, he needs physical healing, and we can't do it, but you can. And we believe you do and want to, and we ask you to do it. Whatever's hindering it, we just pull it away. Pour it into him by the power of your spirit in the name of Jesus so that healing can take place in his body. And he needs other things in his life, other things that he's connected to, things that he's taking care of, thinking about, doing, handling, all of these other connective elements that you would put grace into them and they would not be a, rocky, difficult journey, but it would be smooth and simple. Running like oil. We ask you to bless him for what he's got to put his hands around and take care of, and his body, which he needs healing from you. You're the only answer we can find, and you're the only answer we need. We ask you to bring healing to him in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen, and I'll continue to pray for all of you, and God bless you.
Thank you, brother. God bless you
Thank
as well.
You.
Bye-bye. All right. Great job. Love hearing from Gary. Keep him in prayer. Might be a person you pick up as your fab buddy. That's what I'm telling you. Let's go to verse 3 of Psalm 61. I don't want you to miss this. We'll take it from the beginning. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, yes. Verse 3, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Wow. So David's reflecting on his past. What? What do you mean? Well, he says in verse 3, you have been a shelter for me. And a tower for my enemy. He knows God has done this in the past. He also expects God to do it in the present, and he believes that God will do it in the future. This is the process. During this process, David says, I know you've done this before. You've been a shelter for me. You've been a strong tower from the enemy. You've done this. So now I'm just going to take my position. And here's what he says. Here's the position he takes. I'm going to abide in your tabernacle forever. The tabernacle, so that we don't get overly theological, that's the place where men come to meet with God. And that's the place that David is determined to remain. And he uses these brilliant, brilliant words. I mean, just brilliant. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. The imagery is that he is so close to God. It's like a bird nestled under its mother's wings. That's how close we are called to stay with God. It's not that what he's going through is easy. But he knows where he's got to go from it, from verse 1 to 4 in Psalm 61. It's like he's got to go to the Lord. He knows it. Doesn't matter where he's at in the journey, where he's at geographically. His heart's overwhelmed. He needs to go to the rock that is higher than him. And then he identifies it straight out. He says, you have been a shelter for me. You have delivered me. You have been a strong tower from my enemy. You've done it before, Lord. I need you to do it again. And while that's taking place, I am going to abide. To abide means to live in. It's like a home. I am going to abide in your tabernacle forever. I am going to hang out in the place where meeting you is the key. And I am going to trust in the shelter of your wings. I'm going to trust that as I am close to you, you will be close to me and deliver me and bring me to the place I need to be. That's what he's saying. That's what each one of us needs. We need to have a confidence and a trust that being close to God is the place to remain until the Lord manifests his hand and brings us through. That's what we need to do. That's the first four verses of Psalm 61. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the true station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll come back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
When Joshua was trying to figure out, you know, the Lord and his decision for the Lord, and he was doing pretty good and had good training, he made a decision to follow the Lord. Then he made a decision that he wanted to really commit to devotions. I told him I was proud of him for that. That's his own decision. He has to make that call. Nobody can choose that. You know, I was listening to something the other day, and this is one of the most bizarre statements. You're never going to hear a more bizarre statement. I hope this gets on the radio. You know, you can be born and raised Jewish. You can be born and raised Italian. You can be born and raised in many different things, but you can't be born a Christian. Can't do it. Because you have to make a decision for Jesus Christ. There's no being born a Christian. That doesn't work. That's a lie. You have to make a choice, an individual choice. Your 15 generations of your family could be Christians. When you're born, that does not make you a Christian. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's when you become a Christian. You understand that difference? It was just something that dawned on me. Like, you know, people don't talk that way. Well, he was born in a Christian family. That doesn't mean he's a Christian. Plenty of murderers came out of Christian families. That doesn't mean a thing. That's nothing. But anyway, going back to it, I had to share that because that's that thought that just really struck me as odd. But the power of our words is so noticeable. And Jesus says, hey, you know, I got one for you. By your words, you're going to be justified. And by your words, you're going to be condemned. So my question to pose is why? That's so forceful and brutal. And the answer is in Matthew chapter 15. You guys like that one, huh? Like that. I can tell people, oh, I like that. Matthew chapter 15. Here's the reason. Verse 18. Matthew 15, 18 says this. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And the reason that Jesus said, by your words you will be justified and by your words you'll be condemned, is because your words reveal what's in your heart. And you will know, you can listen to other people and know by their speech. And I'm not even talking about coarse language. I'm not talking about swearing. I'm not even talking about any of that. I'm not even necessarily talking about negative speech. I'm talking about, you will know a person's heart by what they say.
The David Spoon Experience.